Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, have you done your homework for this episode of Super Songs?
Jim, I have to be honest. I was scared of the ending, so I didn't do it.
How are you liking the series so far, Patrick? Are you enjoying this?
Loving it, Jim. Right. Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's easy for us to, just kind of sit here and say like, yeah, these are great songs. But it's also, pretty interesting to think about the kind of cross-pollination of our podcast. And I like that part of it, too. You and I have known each other for quite a while now and totally connected on music. And I've only, thrown an ashtray at you, I think, twice. Yeah. And you've only tried to cut me with a broken beer bottle three times. So,
yeah,
we're doing good.
You know, it's all in good fun. Yeah. What I like about this is that, first off, it's so interesting to me that we hit upon kind of some different styles of songs,
Totally.
And then also they're not like, it's not like they're like Satisfaction and,
I know.
You know what I mean?
The long and winding
right,
road.
Stuff
don't
like
get
that.
Me started. I mean, yeah.
These are not necessarily, the songs that we duplicated on, it's funny. I wouldn't call them not a shock, but a surprise. Does that make sense? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
None of it shocks me that you would like, that we would like these same songs, yeah, but it's a little bit of a surprise that they're not always, like the first songs that might come to mind, I guess, for people.
Totally. Right? I thought it was really interesting and I was really digging this kind of playlist.
Yeah, I know. It's good.
Of those songs. It's very good.
It's good.
Yeah.
This is a good side of a mix CD.
Totally.
Or mixtape. Totally. These 14 songs. Yeah. So, okay. Uh-huh. I'm not going to go through all this again, how we got to the super songs. Go back and listen to the other episodes where we explain it.
Yeah.
All right?
Please.
But there's 14 of them, and we're doing two per day, and we're on day six here, so we're getting
six
toward the
seven.
End.
Yeah.
And this next song on the alphabetical list, this is one of my favorite songs ever in the world.
Same.
All right? Okay, here we go. All right, there you go. Up the Junction. It goes on from there. It's a story song.
Oh, my God. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's one of my favorite songs ever, and I've liked Squeeze for a long time. I mean, Squeeze was one of the first, sort of quote-unquote alternative bands, if you could even call them that, that I got into when I was in high school, got Singles 45 and Under compilation, which this was on, and it's on the album Cool for Cats, but it was on that compilation cassette that I had. And so,
me too.
but I also think it's one of those songs that I think over time I have appreciated more and more and more, to the point of obsession almost, because it speaks so much to certain maturity level. I mean, it's a story of a young couple, and essentially, starting off their life together, and then sort of goes on from there, but it's so the lyrics on this thing are so well written, and I think the music does a really smart thing of sort of not getting in the way of the lyrics. It's very simple, It's almost a folk song kind of in a way in that regard. It has no chorus, which I think find really interesting that it just, the narrative is a real thread. It never gets broken up by any kind of like repetitive chorus or anything like that. Right. And just, so two last things I want to say about this. First, and like go Google the lyrics and read the lyrics, because it's just a lesson and sort of, it's almost like, I mean, essentially like poetry, right? I mean, I love, it's not just even like turns of phrase. It's like, it's not even that. It's word choice that I find so fascinating about this.
Yeah.
Like just the whole idea of, like a lot of times at the end of the verse, it's really good. Like who writes like this, man? He goes, like, I'm just going to read the last two lines of like three consecutive verses. Okay. So you just get the idea of how he just nails the end of the point, that the little segment that he's describing. Right. I said, you are a lady. Perhaps she said, I may be. Like, that's just,
oh my God,
that's so beautiful. And then, but love had got us hooked up and all our time it took up. Right. Yep. Like, and then and then this one is so good too. You know exactly what he's saying without saying it directly, which is really great songwriting, where he says, she said she'd seen a doctor and nothing now could stop her.
Right.
Yeah. And there's so many things like that. So there's all that. And then finally, after you're so invested in this song and it's so endearing and so evocative and its detail and it's like emotion and feeling, right? You know, the guy, and he sells the telly so they can, you know, have a little more money when the baby's about to come and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And all that. And it just feels so good. And then you get this unbelievable gut punch in the song when it takes a twist, right? I don't even know if I want to say what it is, if for people who haven't heard the whole song.
No, don't.
But it's,
don't say it.
It's
but
just
it does.
One of the, it's
it
one
takes,
of the worst it, ever in pop music, right?
It just absolutely knocks the wind out of you. It really does.
So there you
you're
go.
Like, yeah, you're breathless. Well said, Jim. I'm not sure what I have to add. that was really well said. The one thing I will, you know, put the cherry on top of what you said, Jim, you know, like you said, we had this series of super songs and we had like, you know, 14, 15, whatever, right? And I loaded them up into a playlist, which is really kick ass, by the way. And then I started listening to them all, and contrary to what some of you might believe, you know, we do a little research. You know, we spend 5 minutes sketching stuff out before the show. I did listen to the playlist in preparation, and I took a few notes on, you know, most of the songs. But I got to say, when I listened to Up the Junction, I was like, I don't need notes.
Right.
I can describe this right off the top of my head. It's burnt into my soul. You know, I don't need anything, so.
Yeah, I same here. I didn't really have to look up much on this because it wasn't the point. The point is just
talk
about the song itself.
It's
such a brilliant song.
Oh my God! And you know, I can remember getting the CD of this because I saw it for like $2 or something and just bought it because I had a CD player in the vehicle I was driving, and I just played it over and over on repeat like 5 times in a row because I hadn't heard it in a while, and I just kept going back and, you know, listening to it over and over. So
any young songwriters out there, if you think you're good, if you think you're good, listen to this song, and then maybe this will push you to just be a little bit better, I think, because
or if you just want to rip something off,
this
would be a good one. Just rip it off wholesale.
There you go. Okay.
It's like Rhett Miller, right?
Yep, exactly. Okay, now, quick little note here before we get to song number two today, super song number two. Send us your voice memos to rock@suburbspod.com or call and leave a message at 612-440-1984. And what you're going to do there is you're going to tell us about your favorite album and or song of 2020. Try to limit it to one of each or just one or the other. And we're going to play those. We're going to assemble all those messages. We're going to play them on January episodes. And if it goes like years past, we should have a high volume of participation here. So you're going to hear a lot of people talking about music that really moved them in this past year, a year in which I think music was particularly important, recorded music, at least.
Yep.
Under the circumstances. And then for everyone who sends us a message, we will send you in return a mix CD of songs that we really liked from the last year. All right?
Totally. And just want to emphasize that point, you know, that we were talking about our vibrant community. So the shorter you can keep it, pick a song, pick an album, you know, just help yourself narrow it down too. It's fun to say to yourself, like, all right, what was my real, you know, what connected with me the most, which is kind of what these super songs are. So
it is a nice sort of like way to illustrate that, even though these songs are not from 2020, but you get the idea. Like,
that's right.
You really love and really passionate about. Tell
exactly.
About
like what spoke to you the most and why. So that's what we're looking for.
All right. Here's the second song for today. It is by Teenage Fan Club. All right, that is Sparky's Dream from 1995,
yeah,
from the album Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And go ahead, talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you this, Jim. Teenage Fan Club had put out four records before this one came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
To me, you know, I had listened to A Catholic Education and Bandwagon-esque, and I appreciated what was happening. I think Matador even issued A Catholic Education, had some good songs on it. But their earlier style was rougher and, I don't know, more, I don't know, just a little more cynical, right? A little more snarky. And it was fine. But man, when I heard Sparky's Dream on Grand Prix, it was the first time the band like actually made me dizzy from all the guitars, right? Like everything worked. It's like they swallowed 1,000 Alex Chilton pills and suddenly decided, you know, we're going to put all of these guitars that chime like to work on this. And also the lyrics are fantastic too, right? They're so amazing. Like, I took a wrong direction from a shooting star. Like, that's right. Amazing. And also I got to say, the one thing that really hooked me, was, if you go back and listen to the song, right before all the guitars kick in, right? There's that little kind of round, round, round with like, you know, it almost sounds like a, you know, a dance record where it starts like really faint and they turn the treble up and then it all kicks in. There's one, they put one hand clap in there, just one. That goes whack, pow, now, down. Like, we're going to mess with the whole idea of like a Beach Boys, you know, hand clap thing or whatever. But we're going to let you know we understand it. And, I'd literally almost got dizzy the first time I got into this song. So
that's great. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I don't know what to say. I'll just say, 1991, they released Bandwagon-esque, which to me was, you know, just one of my favorite albums, I think, still
record.
To this day. It's so great. I mean, it's so solid and so many great, like, power pop songs and that sort of jangle pop thing and everything. It's just really great. And, you know, if you had asked me at the time, like, do you think Teenage Fan Club could ever write a song that would be better than these songs?
Right.
I'd be like, no, you're insane. You're crazy. Like, no,
can't
these
happen.
Songs are so great.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, here comes this song, which I first heard on like some compilation that I got.
Oh, wow.
Like a label compilation.
Oh,
I can't remember
cool.
Something like that. But anyway, I was just blown away by this song. It's like, could it be more perfecter? You know what I mean? It's it feels to me like this song is like if somebody built like an impenetrable fortress, right? Like you can try to find weaknesses in it. You can try, like you can study it.
Right.
Like, are there little spots? Maybe we can, you know, chip away or whatever, but like you can't do it. There's nothing in this song that would allow you to break it apart. Like it's just, it's like built in such a way that it has no weakness.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly right. Literally.
It's so great.
Yeah.
And
unbeatable.
And
it's an unbeatable song. Yeah.
That's right. And I love to the point where like the song like everything sort of drops out and you just hear that little guitar riff that
I know.
And then it kicks back in. It's
teasing.
Like,
yeah. It's totally great.
It's just killer stuff. And you're right. Like lyrically it's funny and witty and that sort of like in that sort of like 60s kind of pop.
Yep. Yep.
Songwriting sense. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like sort of clever and cute and I don't know what how to say, but there's a but I also think you make a good point. It's not really a snarky song so much. It's kind of more sincere, like
this, absolutely,
you know, love, basic sort of love song, and that whole idea that it's a, you know, essentially about sort of about being in love, I guess, right? And
and I think that's the quality, you know, that at least for my romantic sentimental, you know, being, I missed a little on those first albums, but man, you know, between what I consider the absolute pinnacle of the pinnacle of a fantastically consistently great band, at least the original band, you know, between Grand Prix and Songs from Northern Britain, that is, you know, they just totally gave themselves over to that, you know, romanticism, mm-hmm. that hope and that belief in love that Alex Chilton had and several other, you know, fantastic songwriters and the Byrds, of course. You know, there was that same kind of L.A. 60s optimism and kind of druggy happiness that I like so much. But man, yeah, it's probably you're right. It's still it's bulletproof. There's no way.
To put it another way, this is what I was trying to get at with the fortress idea. It's like every piece is constructed, laid on top of the other in such a way to only make it stronger.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like
exactly.
a feat. It's like a feat of engineering. Yes. This song. You know.
Yeah. Yes, well said. Yeah. Very well said.
Yeah. Okay. All right, this has been a good episode. That's a good stuff on this one. All right, but there are still two more songs.
That's right.
Two more super songs left to get to. We're going to do that tomorrow, and then that's going to wrap up our broadcasting week because there's another holiday
coming
at the end of this week, right?
Yep.
Tomorrow will be our last show of the year.
Woo!
Yeah.
Are we finally putting 2020 to bed? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
I'm tired.
I know. All right, so let's get to that.
All right.
All right, that's all I got right now. So it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow, New Year's Eve.
They put one hand clap in there, just one, that goes whack, pow, now, down, like.
Yeah.